SBS Radio.
Hi, Amberly Harris. We are here today with you, breastfeeding expert. Welcome to the studios.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. It's very exciting. Yes, my plan is to make a breastfeeding documentary, and the first continent that I'm hoping to go to is South America.
Amberly, so which country did you pick and why?
So the first country I've picked is Brazil, and it's because Brazil is this standout country that's doing amazing things. They've increased their breastfeeding success rates in recent decades, and they've also reduced their infant mortality by 2/3. And the reason probably why this has happened is because they have introduced breast milk banks. There's a network of breast milk banks, and milk sharing is very readily available. It's very culturally acceptable, and they're just doing great things. They really are this standout country that I think a lot of us could learn from. So I'm really hoping to go and see it all for myself.
So when you were doing your research and you came to Brazil, did you shortlist some countries? Did you have any other countries in mind?
Not for this part, because there's 292 breast milk banks, to my knowledge, in the world, and 220 of them are in Brazil.
They're all in Brazil,
yeah.
Yes.
So Brazil is doing amazing things, and yeah, we can learn a lot from what they're doing. So I really want to go and speak to the people that have started this and learn from them.
So you are in the early stages of your producing the film. Are you looking to interview people to show how the breast milk banks work in Brazil? What's the script?
Yeah.
Sort of. I know it's early stages. So,
yes. Yeah. No, that's okay. So there's specific people that I want to interview because there's this one man, especially, who's a chemist in Rio, and he has been credited to being a huge part of this production. That region basically is where I want to go because he's made this program to be, you know, you can model off that. Other countries are modeling off what they're doing there. So I do want to go and speak to this one specific man.
Women too, would you be interviewing?
Definitely.
Some women?
I'm very hopeful that women are open to sharing their story about why. It just seems to be that women, they really want to milk share in Brazil. So I want to hear from all different mothers and about their journey and why it was important to them to milk share, and then why it was important to receive milk and you know, how it sort of came about for them.
When do you intend to go and what you're looking for with this once you have this video series ready? What's the objective of your project?
I'm hoping to go in September. That's all part of my plan. And the whole reason I want to do this is I want to improve breastfeeding statistics around the world. I want to start with here in Australia because this is where I am, but I'm really lucky that I have this community and women that I work with in Australia, but I work with mothers all over the world. And so I really want to help them and increase the chances of mothers going on to successfully breastfeed. So my whole intention is because really it is so hard for women to breastfeed in Australia, but around the world as well, in this day and age. And it's very multifactorial. So what I want to do is I want to travel, I want to unpack what I think is these main reasons why it's really hard for women to be able to breastfeed. And I want to turn it around. I want to figure out ways that we can make it easier for mothers. And I'm making this documentary for all women who have wanted to breastfeed, who are passionate about future generations to breastfeed, because the one thing that's going up is the formula industry is a $70 billion industry, and that continues to rise, but breastfeeding statistics don't. And so, you know, I really care about our children and, you know, our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and I want to help them. I want to improve the situation for them so that it's easier and that they can, yeah, it can be successful for them.
And why do you think this is happening? Why women are giving up on breastfeeding so early?
Well, I think the reason it's really hard for women is the sole responsibility to successfully breastfeed is really placed on the mother. And it shouldn't be, because there's a lot of reasons why it is really hard for women to breastfeed. There's environmental influences, there's the government, paid paternity leave and maternity leave, the marketing of formula, healthcare professionals, how supported women are, the information that they receive. There's all these reasons why it's impacting breastfeeding. So my whole goal with the campaign and this documentary is to explore each one of these. I want to travel around the world and unpack each one. And then, I really just want to figure out ways that we can make it better.
Amberly, tell us a bit about yourself. You are a mother, midwife, yes. professional expert
yes.
in breastfeeding, but also a midwife.
Yeah, so I am a midwife. I've worked as a midwife for 11 years here in Melbourne, in public and private hospitals. And I've gone into private practice a bit over 2 years ago because we have really good breastfeeding initiation rates. About 96% of Australian mothers initiate breastfeeding. But in the first 6 weeks, our statistics plummet. And that really was the reason I went into private practice. I want to bridge the gap. I want to help women to go on and you know, have everything work out for them. And I think a lot of it is support. I think a huge part of it is professional support. And so that has been, yeah, where I've sort of gone to in private practice. But I am a mum myself. I have a 6-year-old son and a 4-year-old daughter.
You've been working with, as you explained, you've been working as a midwife and now and also as a breastfeeding expert. Mm-hmm. And when did you decide, when was your switch? Like, I want to do more of this. Because being a midwife, you... It's a more an universal job. You do a lot of things.
Yes.
But why did you decide? Why did you become so passionate about it?
Yes.
Dive in this specific segment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I got exposed to the lack of support when my sister had her first baby, probably. And so it was through that experience I did see that gap in the system and about what happens to women when they take their babies home. So that kind of planted the seed for me. This was my nephew is now, you know, in primary school, so it was a long time ago. And then... Yeah, probably it was more, I think, working in the hospitals and sending women home within 24 to 48 hours. The milk hasn't even come in yet. And knowing that so much is going to happen with breastfeeding after they've gone home, but not being able to provide that support as a midwife in the hospital. And I felt really unfulfilled. I felt just that there's so much more that I could do. So it was a really easy decision for me to go into private practice. I haven't regretted any of it. I couldn't love my job more. And I just feel really passionate about breastfeeding. I just think that for mothers, when they go on and successfully breastfeed, it's a confidence that overflows into every aspect of their mothering. And in the opposite way, if it doesn't go well and if they have challenges, it's so hard for women. And I don't want any women to struggle with breastfeeding. I want everyone to be able to access the right support and to have systems in place that they can go on and achieve their goals with breastfeeding and have that beautiful bond and connection and that mother-baby dyad that, you know, is second to none. So that's really, really where it all started for me.
So you would also advocate, like, in favor of women also. There is also a moment that the woman can't breastfeed.
Yeah.
So if she can't, she will... There is the right support for her too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, there are some mothers, there is a small percentage of women in the world that are unable to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's going back to what Brazil are doing so well is about milk sharing and why I really hope people get behind this project that I'm doing, which is I'm using crowdfunding as a technique to hopefully allow this project to take place. And I guess this is a really good platform to talk about it because SBS is all about community and I really want people to be part of that and to be able to hopefully be part of this campaign that I'm doing to, have more women access support.
Yeah, and to make this, it's also an awareness campaign. Yeah?
Yes.
So people know that there is support for all the decisions that you can make.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just in terms of some advice, the mother should be encouraged to breastfeed their babies for how many months? Is there a limit?
Well, I recommend the World Health Organization guidelines, which is I have a 6-6-2 movement. So my passion is to help women learn how to breastfeed over the first 6 weeks so they can go on and exclusively breastfeed for the first 6 months and continue breastfeeding until their child turns 2 or beyond. So that's my hashtag 662. And this is, you know, an ideal that if it's working for mother and baby, this is the time that breast milk is perfect nutrition for their baby. It also does amazing things for their immunity. And so up until 2 or beyond is a great goal for women to have. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so 6 months to...
Yeah, 6 months is like the first part of it. Like the first goal would be to ideally exclusively breastfeed. So no other, no solids or no introduction of any other fluids until 6 months of age. And then from 6 months to 2 years, you would introduce solids, but also continue breastfeeding until two. Yeah.
And when is it until 2 years old? So that's if people can do that, that's there wouldn't be any problems with that.
No,
to go until 2 years old.
That's like an ideal. Like obviously, how long women breastfeed for is up to them and their baby or their toddler. That's at the end of the day, that the only people that should make a decision on how long to breastfeed for is the two people part of that relationship.
Mother,
But if people were asking for a duration, that's the time that I say that it just all based on the World Health Organization and UNICEF's guidelines.
And do women, in your experience as a midwife and breastfeeding expert, do women choose not to breastfeed?
Yes.
What do you encounter? Like, is this, it can be painful. It can be, you know, there are many issues that can involve such a big decision.
Mm.
But what's your experience? What did you see in your work?
I have had a very small percentage of women I've worked with who have not wanted to breastfeed from the start and have known that they weren't going to try to breastfeed. And, you know, I completely respect their decision. It's their body. It's their baby. They need to decide what's the right fit for them. Usually when I've unpacked why that was a decision they came up with, it's because they had been surrounded by really negative stories by women in their family or friendship groups, and they just decided that they would rather bypass all that altogether. So, you know, that's a good motivation as well for the work that I do because... I think that the way we can have more breastfeeding, I think really the answer lies with women. I think, you know, there's that Queen Bee Beyoncé's, one of her songs is Who Run the World. And I think that's where the answer is. I mean, we so often, it's very socially acceptable in Australia to turn to formula. We don't think that we could actually solve all these problems if we turn to each other and we could actually support each other to establish breastfeeding or go through, you know, the challenging stages before our milk comes in or if our baby loses more weight. Or there's so much about how we could change things with milk sharing. And that is a big part that I really want to unpack with this project.
As you said, you're going to visit some banks, breast milk banks in Brazil.
Mm.
So just for people to understand a little bit, how does a bank work?
Yeah, so in the same way a blood bank works, that people go donate their blood, the blood gets screened and then it gets stored and then it gets distributed to people. So it's the same kind of concept. The thing with milk banks is that the milk does get pasteurized. So it can alter some of the properties of breast milk, but it certainly doesn't destroy all the good components of it. And it still is a much better fit for milk to be pasteurized and shared between women than what the introduction of formula can bring to a mother and her baby.
And it's a free service in Brazil,
isn't
it? In
Brazil, it is, yeah.
So it's amazing how many, like, the country has the biggest number of human milk banks in the world. That means that the women there are very generous, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
If you have an excess, that you donate.
Mm.
Yeah.
It seems to be what I've learned is that it's women really want to milk share.
Yes.
Like, it's part of the culture. And I think that's so interesting to me because here I am in a culture where it's not done. I actually did a post only yesterday, interesting timing, on Instagram. This was before I had this interview with you. So it was just really funny timing. And I asked women, are they open to milk sharing with their girlfriends? And women were very divided. It was 50-50. Some of them were like, yes, absolutely. And others were like, I'm so disturbed by that idea, which was very interesting to hear people's thoughts on that. So yeah, I would love to go to a place where it's just what they do.
And as we were discussing before the interview, it's a kind of a paradox as well, because Brazil is one of the countries with the highest number of babies delivered by C-sections, cesareans.
Mm.
Is there a connection between cesareans and breastfeeding?
There is, and typically cesarean rates are associated with it not being as easy to breastfeed. There's less success rates with breastfeeding mothers, and that's just because, you know, women are in pain, so mobilising is a lot harder to sit up and breastfeed their baby. They're also typically separated from their baby in the first hour whilst the mother is in theatre, so the delay in that first breastfeed can definitely affect milk production. It's the type of birth itself as well, because of the trigger for breast milk is the delivery of the placenta. So when a mother goes through a vaginal birth and the placenta is delivered, there's, you know, it's squeezed through the birth canal, and then all the hormones flow. This experience doesn't happen with a cesarean. So because the placenta is lifted out of the uterine cavity, that hormonal experience, it happens, but it takes a few more days. So this, all of this can affect breastfeeding. I think possibly because Brazil is going so well with their breastfeeding rates, is I'm wondering, is it because even though they have this high Caesar rate, they have that opportunity to milk share, so they're really covering all bases with that.
And it's interesting, we have a comment here, Luana Jones, she's Brazilian, she's saying, I had so much trouble to donate my milk here in Melbourne. So she tried to share her milk, but mm-hmm. she couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have enough information available for women here in Melbourne.
I agree.
We were talking about this, of informing women. It's sort of awareness campaign so people from all cultures know, because maybe if you're from another background, you would be more friendly towards that idea.
Yes, I think that's an amazing point, because here in Melbourne, I mean, there's 5 milk banks in Australia. There's one here in Melbourne right now. There are plans to build more, but right now there's just one. And it's at the Mercy Hospital, and it's specific for babies born at that hospital that are premature or sick. So there's only one milk bank, but not everyone can access it. So the only other way is informal milk sharing, which is women just saying, look, I've got excess milk in my freezer. You're welcome to have it for your baby. And that seems to be very mixed responses about how well that's received.
So yeah, it's an idea also to make information available in different languages as well, so people know what's happening and what's on offer. So if your baby wasn't born in the Mercy Hospital, and if my baby wasn't born there, and I want to donate my breast milk, what are my options?
There is a Facebook group called Human Milk for Human Babies, and that is designated to connecting women to each other if they want to milk share, if they want to provide milk and donate it for other babies, or if they are in need of breast milk. So that is an option for women to explore about an informal milk sharing. Otherwise, I would say, because that's not always the right fit for some mothers, I would say to think about your social network. Have you got any friends or family who you would feel comfortable milk sharing with? Because really, if your breast milk is perfect nutrition for your baby, it's equally as perfect for another baby. So that I would just encourage women to open those conversations, talk to their girlfriends about it, and explore that option, because it's a really valid option.
Yeah, you would also, but you would have to screen the milk. There is a bit of a screening, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I was meaning about if it's perfect nutrition for your baby. So if in terms of screening, we talk about screening for, diseases and infectious diseases and things like that. Certainly, a milk bank will do that. But it's the thing is, if you don't have access to a milk bank, if a mother is breastfeeding, I don't think she's going to compromise her own baby, so she's not likely to compromise someone else's.
Yeah.
But every woman needs to unpack that and deal, deal with that at the time.
And the other 4 banks, where are they located? They are around
They're
Australia?
They're all over Australia. They're not here in Melbourne. So, they're not an option for us.
And are they
New
free?
South Wales.
Would you know that? Or do you pay to?
No, it's free.
Which is like in Brazil. And so you have... So how you're going to Brazil, this campaign, you will launch a campaign?
Yes. So my plan is, my plan is to go to Brazil, absolutely. But what I'm really calling on is the people's support with this project. So I'm doing what's called crowdfunding for the month of July. And if people want to follow the progress of the campaign, they're welcome to follow me on Instagram or Facebook. My handle is Maternal Instincts by Amberly. And the campaign will be launching on the 1st of July. So with crowdfunding, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm getting lots of perks. So people who donate to the cause receive what's called a reward or a perk. So I'm amazingly lucky. I've had lots of really cool brands contact me and say, I'm happy to, you know, for you to sell this
support
or this or this,
you.
So that people, yeah, when they invest, they get something good out of it, but the money actually goes directly to the campaign so that I can hopefully bring this documentary to life and unpack all of it for us all to benefit from.
How is your Portuguese going? How is your language?
Not so well.
Next time you have to come here and do an interview in Portuguese.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. I know. Well, I had to figure that out because at the start I thought, oh, okay, it's South America, I need to learn Spanish. And then I was like, no, it's Portuguese in Brazil. So, look, I'm relying on skilled people like you, Lizzie, to translate everything because all of these people that I'm writing to in Brazil, I'm having to get all of it translated, obviously. Yeah.
So, yeah, you have translated and you can also try a little bit, before.
It's a bit difficult language,
they say, but I think you'll be fine.
Okay, yeah. No, I will. I will learn some for sure.
And I think because when we are passionate about something, the communication will come from that.
Yes.
You know, you will find people that are passionate about what they do. Mm-hmm. And so I think you will feel at home.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I hope so.
And just for us to go towards the end of our interview, what would you say to the moms that are struggling to breastfeed? Mm. What is your advice?
Mm. I think there's two things that are really important with breastfeeding. I think it's education, women preparing themselves before they have their baby. And then I think it's really important to seek support. So that's what I'm all about. Whether it's someone in your area or if there's no one geographically where you have access to, search around, find someone that does digital appointments as well, and seek the support that you need because, you know, breastfeeding is a learned skill. And unfortunately, we were talking about it before about the way we used to raise babies in a village and, you know, we all saw each other breastfeed and all of that. That doesn't happen now. So we really need to visually see what's kind of involved with breastfeeding. And, the filmmaker, I'm really lucky that I've got an award-winning filmmaker, Leanne Hanley, who I'm making this documentary with.
She's going with you.
Yeah,
oh,
she's going
with me.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Yeah. So that is all part of our plan. And I've done a lot of video projects with Leanne before. We've done a breastfeeding series for women and we've just made one for professionals as well. So, I'm all about making good resources that speak to women, that are fresh and engaging because breastfeeding, a lot of the resources are really outdated and daggy. So that I think is a good place to start. If women are struggling, get support, get good information so that you can, get on track.
And where will this film be distributed? Where will the video series?
Yeah. I'm still figuring that out, actually. Yeah. So maybe on YouTube, maybe on SBS. I will be contacting maybe Netflix. It just really depends on how. I'm hoping a really successful crowdfunding will mean that we can make it to the standard that we want, and then hopefully make it available for people to see. Yeah.
Yeah, anywhere, so you can make it available. And don't forget the captions or
good
different
thinking.
Languages.
Yes, great idea.
Okay, then we will stop here.
Yes.
So thanks so much for joining
us,
coming here. It's a Wednesday afternoon, lunchtime.
Okay.
It's super busy. But and the best of luck
to
your project.
Yes.
Uma ótima semana e até a próxima. Tchau.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.